Good morning. Now, I'm somewhat of an interactive preacher, especially if you want to get out of here. Because if I don't get the responses that I need, as I tell congregations, please just start over. So one of those responses would be amen, or praise the Lord, or something like that. That way I know you're here, you're in the room with me, and I'm not just sitting here by myself. Amen? You got it. All right. Well, I greet you in the name of Jesus, and it's a pleasure to be here. I am from Iowa, live in South Dakota. It just feels like it's across the street. So it's always good to come home, so to speak. I'm from Des Moines originally, but I've been here for the past 35, 36 years in Sioux Falls, and apparently we must like it here, or we would have. I think it's too late to move anywhere else now. I'm not quite sure. And I just had a birthday a week ago, and those numbers, they just keep going. But that's a good thing, amen? All right. So the scriptures that I want to focus on specifically are verses 1-3, where I'm just going to kind of highlight again. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. But before I get into that, let me just kind of give you an introduction. So I see that there are some baby boomers in the room, and I don't know about you when you were young, but if someone gave us something or said a kind word to us and our parents were in listening distance, they would always remind us to say thank you. They would almost shame us into saying it, and by the time we got it all out with tears and everything else, it was just not hardly worth it. But that's just one of the things I remember. If they themselves gave us something, and we had to honor that. We had to say thank you. And I think that is something that has extended down through time, is that we remind our children to always say thank you, to always be grateful for anything that you receive, especially if it's free and you don't have to pay for it. Amen. All right. That's prompting you a little bit here. Then there are those times when you have given something to someone else, whether it be a gift or just a simple compliment, and they walk away and they don't say thank you. How does that make you feel? That's kind of a saying that says it just kind of makes me feel some kind of way. Because we expect to have that gratitude acknowledged. And so it kind of just works both ways. So we don't want people to necessarily walk away and not say thank you or acknowledge our gesture of kindness. But I believe the same thing applies when God has shown us nothing but grace and mercy. I like in the 23rd Psalm where it talks about toward the end, and grace and mercy shall follow me. I remember rephrasing that just a little bit in a message one day, and it says, you know, grace and mercy stalks me, and that's okay. They can stalk me all day long. Just be there. Grace and mercy. So he shows us that on a regular basis, and we may sometimes have that feeling that says, well, the reason why God shows me favor is because, well, geez, I'm special. I do all the right things. I'm kind to people. And so, well, why wouldn't he show me kindness and mercy? And then we walk away from that, sometimes forgetting to thank him, even for what we might consider the simple things, like just getting up. I just hit 63 last week, and my dog has not quite settled into daylight saving time, so his normal running around to my side of the bed to get me up is usually about 6:15. It's still 5:15, and there's no letting up. But I say thank you, not to the dog, but that I still have my senses. I can hear, I can see, I can walk, I can talk, and those things that I've been doing for a long time now, and so have you. So it's just sometimes that reminder that we need that nudge once in a while that says thank you. So, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. This verse provides for us I would consider that a directive, almost a command, almost a, you know, if you were back in my day, it was a demand, you know, that we say thank you. In order of a way to give thanks, can't you hear that sort of resonating in your spirit? The Message Bible says it like this: oh, thank God. So now, not only do we have a directive, but we've also been given direction to whom we should give thanks to. So that's, there's, oh, give thanks, and then it goes on to say, unto the Lord. Kind of a two-step process. That's really relatively easy to do, but sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget. I'm grateful that our country has gotten, and maybe they've been there a long time, but it just seems to be a little more present now than before, where we do thank our veterans for their service, because, you know, we kind of look, well, they're here, they're safe. Isn't that thanks enough? No, I think it's good. I think it's okay, Virge, and let people say thank you to you and do something tomorrow. By the way, Texas Roadhouse, free lunch. Tomorrow only. So somebody take him to Texas Roadhouse tomorrow. Just skip work. There's no school in Iowa, is there? There is? Oh, give thanks. I wouldn't be. I sub-teach, and we are not in school tomorrow. On your behalf, we give thanks unto the Lord for veterans and for having the day off. So this verse goes on to provide reasoning behind giving the thanks. So we're in that Thanksgiving vibe. And I've heard some people say it's Friendsgiving, it's Thanks-taking, it's, you know, all of the above. My kids used to get so irritated with me when I would sit down, you know, before we eat every Thanksgiving and sort of demand that they just show some type of gratitude for life. You know, I never, as a parent, we didn't, you know, you don't have to thank us. But, you know, I just kind of wanted to know where their thinking was. I'm a tracker. And so I've always wanted to know, you know, and to try to track my kids, their thinking and those types of things. But they found that to be most uncomfortable. But now I see them sort of sneaking up on their kids and sort of nudging them to be thankful at all times. Verse 2 makes a declarative statement that says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So the redeemed, I'm looking at that as a select group of people that would, this would just become automatic. It would just be routine to say thank you. And so the declarative statement, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Well, who are the redeemed of the Lord? As I just said a moment ago, that select group that have been saved, sanctified, and filled with His Spirit. The redeemed of the Lord are also those people who have undergone a spiritual heart transplant. I think that's your theme. I sort of did a subtopic. I forgot to tell you that. My tablet didn't scroll for me as I thought it would. I thought it knew me. So Thanksgiving for changing hearts. And don't forget to say, not amen, not amen. Thank you. I have to come again. Don't forget to say thank you. In the book of Ezekiel 36, chapter 36, verse 26, it declares that the Lord will give you a new heart. Now, I don't know, 40, 50, 60 years ago, the idea of a heart transplant, I don't know that that was the thing then, but, you know, now we can, you know, we can get all kinds of new things. I almost need a new knee, almost, but not quite. We were just able to kind of scrape out some arthritis and things like that, and so I was looking at, how am I going to get, where, you know, I do, you know, track my paths when I'm in buildings I'm unfamiliar with, looking for easy exits, which is another sermon series altogether, In Ezekiel, it says that it declares that the Lord will give you a new heart. And not only is it a new heart, but it's a heart that is transformed from stone to flesh. Well, that sounds That sounds good. You know, getting a new heart does sound like a transplant to me. What say ye? Amen. All right. The scripture goes on to say, in addition to giving us a new heart, he qualifies it by saying that he will remove our heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. A heart of flesh is a heart that is interactive. A heart of flesh is a heart that knows, it has feelings, it has, it makes decisions. You know, decisions that are made from the heart are far more better than the ones that are made from the brain, from the head. I did a sermon back in September on, and then took people kind of through this journey of how the heart works and stuff like that. I'm not a physician, but when I was thinking about going into healthcare, and sort of did a preliminary testing, it was, cardiology is where I scored the highest, but I've worked in mental health. I don't know how that all shook out, but whatever. So that heart is definitely a different heart than that heart of stone where it just has nothing. Stones really offer nothing to give. Even if you go out and get one and carve nice things on it, you have to do all the work. That stone is not, it could care less what you do to it because it doesn't have feelings. It doesn't even know that you've moved it or anything like that. I mean, when's the last time a mountain spoke to you? And if you confess to that, there is a Vera Behavioral Health at your disposal. So yeah, but that heart of flesh can respond. It can give thanks because it's a beating heart. It's a healthy heart. And whatever, what is the scripture about? Whatever a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, thinketh requires brain, but when it gets down into the heart, we go past what we're thinking and we just start to do. We move from doing to just becoming when we have that heart of flesh. In verse 3, he has taken these new transplants from places, according to the scripture, of what I would like to refer to as non-productivity, to places where they are given opportunities to do several things. And I borrowed this from Amos. To turn dry places into rivers. The heart of flesh is able to make crooked paths straight. And the heart of flesh is able to make rough places plain. And this happens when the redeemed of the Lord, the people with the new hearts, simply say so. Simply say so. When I was a child, much like the Apostle Paul, I thought like a child. I spoke like a child. I ate like a child. Well, maybe not the average child because I love food. Still do. But when I became an adult, when I became a man, I put away those childish things. But one of the things that I'm reminded of that my mother would sometimes, if I was getting disciplined, we'll call it that, she would always want, you know, after she, and especially after my dad, would get through giving us this long liturgical speech about whatever, because whatever I had done, I'd totally forgotten by the time they were finished, but then they would want a response, and I had no words. I had no words. And Mom would, she taught me how to use my words, because she would say, boy, you better open your mouth and say something. Like, what is it that saying about the hungry, you know, if you're hungry but you don't say anything, how's anybody going to know? So we have to open our mouth and declare it. Just say so, whatever that means, whatever context that takes. But the idea is that whatever we say, it is in the spirit of thanksgiving. Now, we raised 6 children and a nephew. And so Thanksgiving was really never that much fun for me. Oh my gosh. And so I was one of the things, because I kind of, you know, my mom made sure that both boys and girls knew how to cook, and I loved the kitchen. When I'm not doing school or doing counseling, coaching, and those kinds of things, I will find myself in the kitchen. And so I thought, well, I'm going to at least teach my twin girls how to cook. We never really graduated from peeling potatoes. Now they're 35, and we went to one of the twins' house for Thanksgiving last year, and she was telling us about what all she was going to make, and I immediately went into prayer, because I thought, oh, Jesus, I mean, the grandkids are okay, but, you know, they're used to Hot Pockets. Can't mess those up. But both girls actually did pretty good, so I was so happy and so thankful to know that they have graduated from peeling potatoes to actually mashing them, cooked. So they've made great, great progress. And so it's simple when we think about saying so, because by now you may be asking, well, what are the people with New Arts, what are they supposed to say? What are they saying? Well, it's simple. They have been given a new language. They have been given a new mindset, and they now have the mind of Christ, which requires a lot of discipline, a lot of structure, not really a lot, because if you're spiritually minded, these things just flow out. They just happen naturally. Just like if you're skilled at football, I was at a school last week, and the kids wanted to know what I did for sports, and I was really never a sports person. I was the music choir boy. Kind of person. But I did try football until my friend broke his arm and I quit right that very day. But I was pretty good at basketball and track. And I've had my share of that. But it took a lot of practice. It took a lot of rehearsing, as it were, in the music realm to make things work. And so the old saying is, well, practice makes perfect. Well, probably not perfect, but it sure makes us better when we practice our skill. And when we do that, then things like that almost become second nature for us. And when we have that mindset, you know, you all have minds, right? Somewhat, I heard, okay. So you know how to think, you know how to process, you know how to set goals, you know how to plan, you know how to do all of those things. And so when we've made up our mind, whatever it is that we are working against or working with, hopefully, when we have made up our mind to do a thing, then it happens almost automatically. Because why? We're thankful people, we're redeemed people, we say so, and we act on it. So when you experience a change of heart, I think the number one thing is to remember to say thank you. Say it with me. Oh, you're welcome. Audience participation. But it's so easy to forget to do, even the simple things. Thank you. I remember wasn't so long ago, I backed up and almost rammed this car that was behind me because I was sitting too far out in the street, but I didn't. And I just remember, even something simple like that, I said, well, thank you, God, that, you know, nothing happened, no one was hurt, nothing like that. And I think God gets pleasure out of that. I mean, how does it make you feel when someone says thank you? I mean, I'm just thinking about the many things that people have done for me over the years and have given me. Some things require a little bit of money, and some things require a whole lot of time. And so I have learned and continue to learn not to just take that for granted. So I'm driving down the highway today, all right? And I got a new vehicle, because my wife and my son said, you really need an upgrade from that old Volkswagen Beetle. I love my Volkswagen Beetle. We could get around corners that no other cars could take. And so driving down, just coming to church today, and all of a sudden a new warning thing came up, tire maintenance. And so I'm driving and looking at, trying to see if this little message is going to go away. Because it's like, what do you mean tire maintenance? I already know what it means. If you see that on your car, what does it mean? No, that's a different message. I think it's telling me I need to get a new set. So that'll happen when it happens, and when it happens, I will be thankful, because after all, I'm looking at the fields, and they will soon be covered with frosting. Sugar on cereal. That's what I used to say snow was. It's just sugar on cereal. But it's cold sugar. Anyway, when you experience that transplant, if you have not already, don't forget to say thank you. Amen? Amen. God bless you today.